Hey guys, thank you so much for stopping by Legend Church's weekly podcast. Just a quick reminder, you can check us out at legendchurch.com, find us on Facebook and Instagram, and Sunday mornings in Madisonville. But hey, without further ado, set the cruise control, start Matt Marun, or grab a drink, and let's talk about all things Jesus.
I was just reminded that I don't know why, but I get the Easter sermon every year for like 15 years. Do you have Jason? Have you ever had one? No, that's not all right. I don't get to go and have a good time. I get to do the thing I thought this must be a wild coincidence. And I was just telling someone, I was like, I think Jason plans this. Somehow, I don't know why, it always seems random, but it's always me. But anyways, I like to do it, and I'm glad to be here. I was also just telling someone that when we first started, I don't know, I was in my 20s, and we thought we would be like really artsy and be like, man, maybe for Easter, we won't even mention it. Like, don't even talk about it, the thing. And people were like, nope, we just want the story. On Easter, give us the thing. On Christmas, give us the thing. Any other time, you can be as creative as you want, but no one wants that. And I've been told like 9 times, make it quick, because kids are in here. And I'm like, I'm not Jason, I'm quick. That's a weird thing to say. Man, we're going to get started. Happy Easter. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited. I think Easter is really fun. I was going through something, and I read this verse, so if I'm allowed, I'm going to read from the Bible for a second. But it's this verse here, and it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I want to read it again. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us run with perseverance. I love this idea because that's life. That's the life we all know, the life we all experience with ups and downs and twists and turns and loves and hates. That life is hard and life is wild and life is just random and different. And it's persevering, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And this is why I like this verse, is this word, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the one. We like Jesus because we like the way he lived and he pioneered, he trailblazed the way that say, if we can do this, man, things could be different. So that, and all of that, he endured shame being nailed to a cross so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So a while ago, Jason and I had this thought about Easter, that every Sunday that we meet, we are on like sort of mission, and our mission's always been like, can we break down barriers that we have built between people and God? That we've built these barriers that separate us, and man, can we just get rid of all that? And we try to make it like teachy and relevant or whatever else. And I was like, but what about Easter? Like, why do we have to try so hard? On Easter, can we just show up? And man, we are all here, whether it's your first time or millionth time, because there's something about this character, Jesus, we love. And can we just show up and just be? Maybe I don't have to overly explain it or have to think about, like, what if people think this? Just love this idea of resurrection, of new, and Jesus, this character, this person in history that we have fallen in love with. So the idea is, like, man, Easter is just for us to just be us unashamedly. I mean, we're going to sing about it. We're going to talk about it. And man, if you don't like it, I don't care this week. And the other week, I really do. I'll be like, I'm sorry, it didn't upset you. But this week, I don't care. I'm going to start off by saying that I hate Ash Wednesday. This is a new revelation for me this year. I think Ash Wednesday is very depressing. We did it this year. And I like the idea because I need it. I'm not an Ash Wednesday person. My personality isn't everything is heavy and you're the worst, because I think that's what you're supposed to feel on Ash Wednesday. And I never feel that way. I try, and I need someone like Jason, who is very Ash Wednesday. Jason is the persona of Ash Wednesday. I mean, guilt, This is what happened. Come on, bring it on. And I'm not. And so when I do it, like I fake it, I'm like, yeah. But I need someone like Jason to lead me because I like the idea of knowing, hey, I contribute evil to the world. I live in a culture that contributes evil to the world, and I need to be reminded of that. But it's not me. I'm faking it. But I'm Easter, right? Like, I like Easter. Like, I'm the Easter, and Jason's the ash. Is that a thing? We should start doing it. Is that anything? Anyways, I just don't like the heaviness of that, and it's good. But I love resurrection. I love new. I love creativity. I love this idea that when we come to Easter, when we think about Jesus, there is something new to think about, something refreshing for us. And so Jesus, the one that we would say if we're a Christian, I follow this. And I really like Jesus. I have so many friends who are into very other belief systems and things, and I love listening to them. I love reading about them. But I'm also, guys, in the end, I just really love Jesus because he's cool. And I shared one 2 weeks ago. I got these, top 10 stories. Stephanie, where are you at? What's your top 10 Jesus stories? Where am I? You can text me later. I know they got it. It's either Stephanie or Scott. They're the only two that I can pick on. I was thinking this week. Monty read this miracle story. I'm like, oh, I'm not miracle Jesus. That's cool. That doesn't do anything for me. But I really like storytelling Jesus. I'm like, oh, he tells great stories. And the way that he's representing the downcast, the way that he's representing people that are ostracized, the way that he loves, when he's there for the woman who's about to be stoned, when he tells stories about people who we think are out are actually in, everyone's welcome to the table, that Jesus has represented something that we're supposed to look at and say, oh man, this is how I want to live my life. If I can do that, if I can live like that, I believe I can probably get through this life. I can persevere through this life a little better. But Jesus comes, and Jesus isn't the first person who they said Messiah. There's about a dozen in that 100-year span that said, oh, I am the Messiah for the Jews. Jesus comes and he lives a little bit, most of them are militaristic. They come to start, we're going to overthrow Rome, we're going to overthrow the oppressors, and we're going to do it with military. Jesus comes and does something different. And we read these stories and we see that he represents a threat to power, to political power, to religious power, to social power. And he comes and it all starts with a whisper, this whisper that I think we could live life different, right? I think we could live life better. I think we can do it differently than this selfishness, than this ego, than power, than the world is saying. And we kill him for that. We don't like that whisper. We kill that whisper. So he's killed, right? He's nailed on this shameful death on the cross because that's what Rome does. Rome is really good at hunting down messiahs and killing them. That's what he does. There's a dozen of them. They find them all. They kill them all. And every time they're killed, the followers are just like, I guess that's it. That was cool for a couple years, but I guess it didn't happen. And that happened a lot. And it happened in this story, too. There's a story, I think Jason talked about a while ago. It's called The Road to Emmaus or whatever. But it's these dudes, they were following this Jesus guy, and he's dead. They killed him. They put him on the cross. And so they're like, I guess we're going home. Like, that was fun. We're done. And they're going home. And then Jesus, he's in the tomb. We talk about resurrection because we've on this third day, he's resurrected, right? The women go to the tomb and he's not there. And you get these stories, these pop-up appearances that he's starting to make for the next 40 days. And he pops up to these guys and he's like, yeah, I'm not dead, right? Like, here it is. The only of all the messiahs that has that story, the only one who after this happened, the history changes, right? Whether you believe or not, it actually doesn't really matter. We can look at this spread of Judaism, and after this event, after the resurrection, everything changed. People were thinking things they never thought before. They were forming communities that were never been formed before. There was something different in the world that happened, all from this whisper of, I think things could be different. I think things could be better. That's the story of Jesus. I live a life that says this is how I live, this is how I treat others, this is how I love people, this is what I do. And our job on Resurrection Sunday is to be reminded that yes, that's how I'm supposed to live my life, that's what I'm supposed to do, and it's inviting us into something new, that there's something new here, there's a new way to be in community, there's a new way to treat others, and there's a way we don't, And we're being invited into that. We call it new creation. I have a friend who is a pretty, he's very devout atheist. He's like, this is his stance. And about four times a week, I get a Instagram meme or video that he sends me where it's like a comedian or someone like making fun of Christianity. It's always funny. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of material there. Always funny. But this week I started thinking, I was like, maybe he's not my friend. I thought he was. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks that we're friends. But he's always sending me these things. Yeah, and I'm always like, ha ha, laugh face. But I think about him. And I think about in retrospect to resurrection and what we're supposed to be and the life that we're supposed to be living. It's supposed to be feasts. It's supposed to be everyone invited at the table, right? And I think about my friend who thinks he loves me, I think, but he doesn't love Christianity. He doesn't love God. Because everything he's seen, and I'm putting we as Christians, even though it's maybe not us as individuals, but as a whole, through history, we have not represented resurrection. We have not shown people resurrection. We have not shown the world like, oh, we're here to live this way, where everyone's invited, where we love, where we sacrifice, where we're there for each other. We're in community, a new community, a different community, because we like this Jesus and we're following him. But these never seen that because we're not that good at living out resurrection. I was trying to think, I was like, do I have awesome stories about myself living out resurrection? And I couldn't think of anything. But I did think of one that where I didn't. It was this weekend. Actually, it was this week on Thursday. We went to downtown. And we parked and we were leaving. It was me and Kristen, the two children. The third was not there. And I'm trying to get out. Like, we were parked, and there was crazy traffic. Like, it was insane traffic. And I'm trying to get out. But I was like, hey, we were parked. The rule is I get to get out. I get to get out because I wasn't cutting in. I'm parked. So I go to put my turn signal on, and this dude does not want to let me in. But I was like, I'm getting in anyways. And so I do my thing where I'm like, I'm still going. And he rolled down the window, and he yelled a lot of things at me and said, I'm going to hit your car. And his car was all banged up, and he was from Michigan, and he blamed all of Ohio. He was like, it's Ohio drivers, why my car is like this? I'm like, all right. And he said a lot of mean things, and I rolled down my window, and I said something. Let me tell you, first, we were at a parade, and parades are boring and long, and so I had a long day. Like, I don't understand why we have parades. Parades are the dumbest thing in the world. I don't care who's walking down. It's like families now. The Reds Parade isn't cool. There's not like cool floats and you're like, whoa. It's families. Like the Gray family has a float. And I'm like, I don't know who you are, but I'm waving back at you and it's weird. Anyways, so I was at this parade, the Reds opening day. I was tired. This is all my excuses. And I was really irritable. Anyways, I yelled things back at this guy. And then he was, we'll get out of the car. And I was like, I have been working out lately. Could I fight? I was like, could I fight? Could I? I think the answer is no, but I could try. And anyways, then it all, whatever. I let him go. And I immediately start feeling really guilty. And so I have this vision in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get on the interstate. And this guy, his car is going to break down. That wasn't a good thing. I was like, no. I mean, it was a good thing. Yes. His car breaks down. I'm like, I'm going to pull over. And I'm going to change his tire. I'm going to give him a hug. We're going to be besties after this. This is how this ends. That fantasy did not happen. If you know me, 2 hours of every day is lived in fantasy. Maybe more. All the time. But it didn't happen. And I did that thing where I reflect on the day that night. And I have to apologize to my family. Guys, I'm sorry. But that was my chance to be resurrection for this guy. Like, I had the chance. Jesus didn't give me a second chance. He didn't give me the flat tire story. He gave me one chance to be something different for this guy who hates all of Ohio. And I failed. I utterly failed in front of my wife, in front of my family, in front of God, in front of this man who I thought about all week. And I was like, oh, these are the chances that we get all the time. It's not always in some bigger grand scheme. It's every moment, every person. The job is to be resurrection for them, to be life-giving, to be something that's different, regardless of our own stuff, regardless of our egos. That's what gets in the way. And because I believe in this event of resurrection, and I believe that we're not people of death, we're people of life, we're not people of dread, we're people of hope, we're not people of violence, we're people of peace, we're not people of hell, we're people who represent a life here and now and present, and that every moment matters. And every waking moment, every encounter, every minute for the Christian should be, how do I represent resurrection? Because this event matters to me in my life. And how do I represent that for every person I come in contact with? I'm going to end on this verse again. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into our communion time. God, thank you for resurrection, and forgive me and us when we and Christianity as a whole, when we do not represent it, when we represent hate, when we represent exclusion, when we represent something that is not you. If it's not a feast that everyone's invited to, where we've all come together, then we have done it wrong. Lord, you came and you died and you lived this life and you were killed. And I believe in resurrection. I believe that things can be made new in all of our lives all the time, regardless of the situation. Help me when I have that disbelief, and help me when I don't represent that. Let us be a good community that represents that all the time. And when we mess it up, let us say sorry and move on. Thank you for today. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for resurrection and new things. Amen. We're moving to our time of communion, and people keep asking, like, hey, how do you like the new building? And we haven't had a normal service yet. It's been kind of wild. Easter's not normal. But this part is the part that everyone's stressed about, because we've done it like it's wild. We always, you know, would come forward and take the bread and dip the juice. So there are several ways you can take this. You can come forward, stand in line, take the bread, dip the juice. There's also some in your pew if you don't feel like getting up, the like pop tops. And there's also, I think, some set up in the back. So it takes a second. It's a little crowded, but it's all right. But man, when we come to Easter, it's this event that we celebrate every week. It's what, if there's anything, you know, somebody actually made fun of us this week about our statement of beliefs on our website. It says nothing, I think, or it's not even there. But if it is there, it just says Jesus. That's all. That's what we believe. And if you are somewhat into that position, I think you have a home here. If not, you probably still have a home here, Scott. And just kidding. Love you. He's letting me listen. But this is what we do, and we come and celebrate every week. But this week, this is the celebration. This is what we do. I'm going to pray one more time just for this event. And then they're going to sing a song, and anytime during the song, you can come and do your thing and take communion. God, thank you for this. Thank you for sacrifice, for showing us that sacrifice is the way to live. Thank you for Jesus' life that's showing us that bigger things are possible, that power isn't everything, that power comes in small things, and power comes in being weak. Be with us as we follow the example of Christ, because that makes our lives better. Let us know that. Let us feel that. Let us experience that. And let us believe that. Thank you for blood shed. There's something symbolic there that means something big. And be with us as we come to the table of tables that you have prepared for all of us.